Welcome to Brandon's Entertainment Universe. My name is Brandon Parn. So happy you could join me today. This is the show where I tell you about everything that's in my entertainment universe. And man, before we get into our topics today, I want to tell you a little bit about the weekend I had that kind of relate to our topics. Thursday night, the new Backstreet Boys album dropped. That'll be one of our topics today. I'll talk about that and my love for the Backstreet Boys. And then Saturday, I got to see the special preview screening of the Lego Movie 2, the second part, and we'll talk about that a little later as well. And I just finished a show I've been watching the past couple days, and I'll tell you about that as well. But first, I just finished a show literally moments ago that I watched on Hulu. I found out it was expiring from Hulu about a week and a half ago. And it was gonna expire. It's gonna expire tomorrow, Monday the 28th, of January. And so I was able to watch it in time because it only aired for 6 episodes, and it's called Andy Barker PI. It stars Andy Richter as a CPA turned private investigator, and it was created by Conan O'Brien. For Andy, along with a guy named Jonathan Groff, who I don't believe is the Broadway star. But, yeah, basically that's the show in a nutshell. Andy Barker is a CPA who accidentally becomes a private eye after he rents out the office that was formerly owned by a private investigator. And each episode is kind of like a comedic caper, if you will, finding out who done any particular case Andy is on. And it stars Andy Richter, Tony Hale from Arrested Development on it as well. And it is just a fun six episode show. It only lasted for 6 episodes on NBC back in 2007. But it's a really easy watch. It's a fun watch. It's an enjoyable watch. And I don't like to do spoilers when I talk about shows. But otherwise, I really enjoyed watching it. If you can find it on any other streaming services, I would give it a fun watch. You can do it in about a day or two, since it's only 6 half-hour episodes. So yeah, once it comes to a streaming service near you, Andy Barker PI. Next up, I want to tell you about a movie I got to see early yesterday. Warner Brothers had a screening of the Lego Movie 2, the second part, across the country in select theaters, and I got to go see it. 2 weeks before it comes out in theaters nationwide on February 8th. And I don't want to spoil anything. As you know, as I mentioned, I don't like to do spoiler reviews. But I can say this. As a huge fan of the first Lego movie and the Lego Batman movie, and I did enjoy the Lego Ninjago movie, but really big fan of the first Lego movie. I have the poster of it in my room, the actual movie poster. I loved the sequel, the second part. I think it was a great continuation of the first movie story. I think that it built upon the first one, but not forgetting what made the first one great. I think it took those elements and launched it into the stratosphere, which was in the best way possible. Phil Lord, Chris Miller, who did the first Lego movie, they directed that and wrote it and produced it. They came back to write and produce this one. Mike Mitchell took over directing, and they're coming off. Phil Lord and Chris Miller are coming off Into the Spider-Verse, which they produced. It is a fantastic sequel. I think it's just as good as the first one. Don't know if it's better. That first one is really hard to top, but I think they met, maybe even exceeded expectations for how good the second one is. I really, really enjoyed it. I tweeted how much I enjoyed it. Phil Lord and Chris Miller liked and retweeted my tweet, which was so cool. I'm such big fans of theirs and pretty much everything that they do. And the movie's about Emmett having a dream and trying to prevent that dream from becoming a reality. And I will not go any further than that. But the voice cast did an amazing job. The animators did a great job. Everybody just knocked it out of the park. I really, really enjoyed this movie. You got to go see it February 8th. It comes out nationwide. Go see The Lego Movie 2, the second part. And finally, for our main topic this episode, the Backstreet Boys have released DNA, their 10th studio album, and I freaking love it. We're going to talk about the album first, then I'm going to talk about my love for the Backstreet Boys. The album, like I said, is called DNA. There's 12 tracks. You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your music. And I think it's probably the best pop, their best pop album that reflects the time, reflects the style of pop music at the time since they did Millennium. Millennium's still their best album, but this reflects what kind of pop music is popular right now, and I think it's their best version of being able to do that since Millennium. But still having a bunch of different styles of pop music and music in that mix as well. Don't Go Break My Heart and Chances were the first two singles. They are fantastic. Some of my other favorites include New Love, The Way It Was, and Passionate. Great. Passionate and New Love are great kind of dance jam songs. The Way It was a kind of a Motown pop Temptations type step touch kind of groovy love song. Breathe. I want to tell you about Breathe, which is a beautiful, pure a cappella song. They were doing an interview recently, Backstreet Boys, and they said that Breathe was a song that they did fully produced with instruments and everything. But then they wanted to do an a cappella track, and they re-recorded it just a cappella. The fans been asking them to do a pure a cappella track on one of their albums, and this turned out beautifully. I was worried when they released the track listing, the names of all the songs on the album, when Breathe was one of the names of the songs, I thought it would be a re-release of the song Breathe that was on their last album, In the World Like This. But luckily, I think this song is even better than the previous Breathe, which I only liked okay, but this one is just beautiful. Go check out Breathe. No Place is kind of the fourth promotional single from the album, and that is a song saying there's no place like our family, there's no place like our wives. It's a great kind of grounded song. I really enjoy that one. Bunch of great songs on this album. 12 songs in total. And for me, I like the first six better than the last six. Seven if you want to include Chances, but since that's been played for a while, I don't necessarily include it. But of the new stuff, so Breathe is number 3. Don't Go Breaking My Heart is number 1. So 2, 4, 5, and 6. Well, mainly, I think it's 4, 5, and 6. I'm trying to remember. Well, New Love and Passionate are two of my favorites. I think are my two favorite new songs that we haven't heard yet from the album. But I freaking love this album, DNA. It's out now. I don't know how I got into the Backstreet Boys, but I'm so happy I did. I'm also a huge NSYNC fan. They were coming up around the same time. I won't talk about NSYNC in this episode. We'll save it for another. But I'll tell you this. One of the reasons I love the Backstreet Boys now is because they're still here. And they're still making great music. They're still touring. They're still putting on great shows. And I could not be happier. One of the reasons why... Another reason why I love them so much is because they... are one of, out of my favorite artists, they are definitely up there, maybe close to the top, of doing live arrangements for their shows, for their tours. They always find a way to mix up their tracks, and they talked about it in an interview once, actually, they were on this radio show called The Zach Sang Show, and Zach Sang is a friend of mine, and I got him to ask them about their live arrangements, and they said they try to mix up their songs when they get influences, but try not to steer too far from the original track, because when they want to, they know the fans want to hear that song, not too much of a remix of that song. But they still try and put a little flair, put little beats and drops and interpolation and all that stuff into their live shows. And one of my favorite arrangements they've done is Everybody Backstreet's Back, but sprinkled in a little bit of Madonna and Justin Timberlake's 4 Minutes. Just, it's subtle, but it's really cool. I really like it. And another one that they've been doing for a long time, since 2005, since the Never Gone album, is they mix I Want It That Way with Human by the Human League. Really, really cool. I could go down the line of all the songs they've done live arrangements for, but that would take forever. But I would say my favorite album from the Backstreet Boys is probably most of the fans' favorite. It's Millennium. I do have a soft spot for a lot of the songs on Black and Blue and Unbreakable, if we're going without Kevin. I do also love a lot of the songs on In a World Like This as well. The classics are classics from the first few albums. The Get Down is one of my kind of low-key favorites. Backstreet's Back, of course. As Long As You Love Me is always such a tender song for me. I love that song. And I just love the Backstreet Boys so much. Never got to meet them. Haven't met them yet, but hopefully one of these days I will cross paths with them and it will be awesome. So, that does it for this episode of Brandon's Entertainment Universe. So happy you could join me. My name is Brandon Parnes, saying stay tuned for Carson Daly, and I'll see you next time.